Good evening, church, Facebook friends that are out there watching and hearing us. We hope you're hearing us. But it's been a rainy day, but a good day, another day the Lord has given us. And we want to thank the Lord for that. We never presume upon His goodness and His mercies and His grace. I'm also proud that I have two grandsons, hopefully tonight, watching from home, and many others in our family, I'm sure, but we're just glad you're tuned in for the devotional tonight. I'm going to read the prayer needs of our church and community for several people, so listen carefully and remember some of them. Some of them are in dire need of prayer. They're really, really sick. Brother Kent Smith is one of them. He's been in the hospital, will be 2 weeks tomorrow. So we want to remember him in a special way when we pray, but we remember all these on our list, try to every day, but we want you to know about them as well. The lost, those that are backslidden, marriages, and those that are depressed, and a lot of people are depressed because of all that's going on with the virus and the limitations and what we can and can't do. And I think our pastor said it well yesterday when he said a woman in Texas can drive all the way to New York City, have an abortion, and there's no restriction. But we're restricted. We can't come into church house to worship our Lord and Savior. And that seems to be where we are as a nation, not just in one state or one town. So we need to pray that God will help us release this, and I know He will, in His time and His way. But Nicholas Patrick and his parents, Misty and Ronnie, Nicholas was taken to St. Jude's. He has leukemia, and just remember them in prayer in a special way. He had to be, was he airlifted, Pastor? Paul R. Wood, he's doing well, and we're thankful for that. Sheila Stanley, Brother Wayne Bledsoe, Faye Hill, Ruth Roten, my aunt, doing better. Paul and Becky Hayes, Levi Lynn, Donnie Fields, Rhonda Smith and Sister Priscilla, Peggy Roten, Paul and Becky Hayes. I read that, I'm sorry. Peggy DeBoard, Moselle Carter, Ruth Bowen, Patty Prevett, Helen Bowen, Ruth Osborne. Most all these names here that I've called last are widows. Ruth Osborne, Hazel Stanley, Jeanette Carter, Peggy Stanley, Alma Bowen, Lottie Johnson, remember Jay and Ruby Keck, Phyllis and Hoyt Bledsoe. It was good to see them yesterday. Liza Fletcher, my sister, she's still having back problems, and just remember her. Henrietta Roach, Bobby and June Jesse, Margaret and Chet Wheeler, Miss Wilma Jean Thomason, Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, John and Carmine Shoup, Ryan Luke, Denny Smith, and our nation, our president, and all those that are fighting against him. I have to say, he's a warrior. I'm glad he got elected because he's been a warrior and he's not giving up. He's like a chihuahua dog on your paint leg. He does not turn loose when he gets hold, and I'm thankful for that. Also, we're thankful for those that are working in the healthcare business of protecting us, securing us, watching over us. For those that are having to go through so much, even our pastors, and many of our pastors having to figure out what they're going to do and when they're going to do it and how they're going to do it and how to meet the protocols, and it's just, it's a lot on us. And we'll be reopen our church Sunday week from this coming Sunday. You'll be able to come inside if you choose to. If you're not comfortable doing that, you can sit outside in your car and listen to the service. We want you to be comfortable when you come back, but we want to be back. The coronavirus, as of 5 p.m. today, nationally infected 1,702,865 have recovered. Recoveries are 460,862, so there are survivors. We tend to hear the news and you think everybody has it is dying, but that's not true. But there are a lot have passed, and we sympathize with those families. And the loss of the deaths is 99,743. State of Virginia infected 37,727 and 1,208 deaths. Again, we'll have devotionals, as far as I know, this Friday, and may continue next week and until we get settled back into full church services. But we're thankful you are here listening and can listen to us. But check Thomas Village's Awana Face page for those that are in Awana or have children that are in that age group. May the 30th, we'll be having a drive-in service at 11, 10 o'clock, okay, on the 10, at 10 o'clock. June 7th and 14th, we'll begin our meeting in the sanctuary. And if you could see around the sanctuary, you'll see X marks on the pews. And that's been to separate you out so you're not compromised when you come into the church. But if you are, we ask if you, before you come, to put on, remember that there's no handshaking, no hugging, keep your distance of 6 feet, respect the others. If you're not afraid of the virus, others are, and some are compromised with their health. So remember that. But never forget, as our pastor often says, no one loves you like Jesus does. No one has done as much for you as Jesus has. And if you'll let him come into your heart and your life, and take control of your life, he'll do even more and greater things. And that's what my devotional is about tonight. Allowing him to do great things from nobodies. I'm just a nobody myself. So with that in mind, let's go to the Lord in prayer and thank him for this day and pray for this service. Father God, we just thank you for hearing our prayers and our petitions. We thank you, Lord, that you've heard these names called verbally and resound in heaven. And we know, Lord, you'll work your way and your will in each life, and we just pray for many that are hurting and sick, those that have lost loved ones, those that are sick and with the virus, and those that are sin sick. Those are the ones that we really need to reach, Lord. And I know you know that, and that's why we're doing this devotional. That's why we're still trying to have church, is to reach this community and those out there that may be under the voice of our church, by Facebook. The lost, Lord, is what we're seeking to do, to gain them. We can be a Christian, but we need to win one. And we need to be one and win one and make a difference in another person's life by sending and leading them to Jesus Christ. And we just pray, Lord, that that would happen. We thank you for our pastor and his family and our deacons, the workers of our church, Lord, and just so many that contribute that are not seen and not heard, and they don't do it to be seen or heard. But we just pray for them and ask you to be with us through this service tonight as I try to teach a devotional. And Lord, just continue to watch over us. Guide us as a nation. We need prayers for our president, for Congress and the Senate, from sensibility, Lord. And that's what we seem to have gone from. It's almost making a joke of some things, and we're sorry for that. But we can't do something about some of those things. But we can pray about them and give them to you. And we thank you for it. Thank you for hearing our prayers and our petitions and our groanings. We love you because you first loved us, and thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was thinking about what to do for a devotional for tonight, I had so many things on my mind, but I couldn't really settle on anything. But I've been reading a book. It's by J. Vernon McGee. It's a simple book. It's well written. If you've read any of J. Vernon McGee's material, it's just like reading, like you would write it, probably. He uses slogans like, "This is where the rubber meets the road." That's one of his famous statements that I've learned from him. I have a whole book of each book of the Bible on his commentary. I often read from and study from. But this is a good book if you're interested in it. It's called Real Characters by J. Vernon McGee. And it's how God uses unlikely people to accomplish great things. It's how he uses nobody. Nobodies. I'm a nobody. But I'm somebody. He's trying to tell everybody about somebody who saved my soul. That's the words of a song by Casting Crown. It's been one of the number one hits in the Christian realm of music. Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. And I think that could sum up a lot of our lives. Why we ever got chosen by the Lord to tell other people about Jesus. And it's a big responsibility for a pastor, a deacon, a church member. But you know, we're all to go and tell. The Bible tells us that. Matthew 28:29 tells us to go, to tell, to teach, and preach, and baptize in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we fail to do that so many times. We're afraid to say something. We're afraid we're going to offend somebody. And that's not the purpose of witnessing. But I titled this devotional, How God Uses Nobodies to Enhance His Kingdom. And this book, and I've followed an outline by Dr. J. Vernon McGee, it has 11 different groups of people in here, about 15 people totally. You'll know most of them when I call their names. But if you look through the archives of the Bible and through modern history of people who have used or been used, you'll find nobodies. Look at David. He was a nobody. When Samuel came hunting for a king, he went to David's father and he said he saw all the brothers of David. And he said, "Well, is there not another? Is this all you have?" And he said, "No, I have a son, David," which would have been 13 or 14 years old. And when he saw David, he chose David. A nobody. He was a shepherd. He tells that in his stories. He tells that in his songs. He tells that in his writings and his poetry. But nobodies have been used all through the time, through the biblical times, to get God's word and his plan across to the chosen race of Israel, to Jews, and to be adopted into that the Gentiles. As Peter, we will see in one of these events here with Cornelius, as Peter comes and witnesses to a Gentile. But many of these men and women were nobodies. And J. Vernon McGee has done a great job in this book. If you'd like to look it up and find it in Amazon or somewhere, you could purchase it. It won't be very expensive. But it's 14 different people that I talk about here, and I'll go through those quickly, and I'll try to give you a Bible reference for each one of them. The first one is Jacob, back to Bethel, getting rid of the things that keep us from having access and closest relationships to God in Genesis 35:1-3. Joshua, the man God can use, knowing the will of God comes from obedience and through obedience. Joshua was chosen over two other men, two great men, over Caleb and over Phinehas. And that's in Joshua 5:15. Caleb found the fountain of youth. I think I need to be with him as I get older. I feel like it. Trusting no matter where you are, no matter what, and doing at what age you are, you can still serve the Lord. Amen. Some people will say, well, I want to get a little more mature in my Christian walk. And, you know, you can't wait on that. It's like saying, as soon as I get this, I'll serve the Lord better, or I'll tithe to the church better. But if you don't start, you'll never, and begin it, you'll never do it. And that is in Deuteronomy 1:34-36. Caleb found the fountain of youth by serving the Lord, even though he was older. Samson. God knew Samson's weaknesses and his strengths. He was the last of the judges. In Judges 13:3-5, and the secret of his strength and the spirit of Samson and the spirit of the Lord. And the Lord knew all about him more than he knew about himself. He knew what he was going to be doing and when he sinned and when he turned away from the Lord and lost his strength. There's four in this group: Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and Bathsheba. All these are in the four women that are in the line of David, some way or other. And also in the line of Christ, if you turn in Matthew, you'll find this chronology of the how all came about. So-and-so begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so. And you got to read about 20-some verses there to get down toward the end of Christ's lineage. But Tamar was sin. Genesis 38. She was a sinner. She tricked her father-in-law into sexual relation and birthed a child. And that's in Genesis 38:12-18. Rahab was full of faith, a gentle, but a prostitute. In Hebrews 11:31, she was showed she had much faith. In Joshua 2:11-12, it shows that. Ruth was full of grace, a Moabite. She sought grace through her mother-in-law, Naomi. It's a beautiful story in the book of Ruth about her and her relationship with her mother-in-law and how close they were. And she told her mother-in-law that I'll be where you are and your God will be my God. And that's in Ruth 2:10. Bathsheba, security. David begat Solomon by Bathsheba out of wedlock. And he tricked Uriah into sending him to the front of the battlefield so he'd be sure to be killed, so he wouldn't know or wouldn't be blamed for having fathered Solomon. That's in Matthew 1:6, in the genealogy of Christ. Hosea. God uses a prophet, obedience, to point him and paint a picture of his forgiveness and his restoration. Hosea 1:2. He told Hosea to go take your wife back and your children, even though his wife was a harlot and she had children. He told him to go take your wife back and love her. Mary, the first to doubt the virgin birth, when she was told by the angel that she would give birth to the Son of God, and she asked how that could be. She had not been with a man. She was committed to Joseph. And a commitment then was a betrothed engagement in Luke 1, 26 and 27. And the virgin birth given to Mary in the birth of Christ. You can find that in Luke, as I said, 1, 26 through 27. Nicodemus, he came to Jesus in the night because he didn't want anyone to know that he was a follower of Christ. He was not ashamed of it, but he was afraid for his life because he was a Pharisee. He was in the Sanhedrin court, and he had a lot to lose if they found out he was a follower of Christ. He was a Jewish ruler, and his name, nickname Nicodemus, or his name meant victory over people. So you can find that in John 3 and 1 and John 2 and 23 and 25. Stephen and Paul are in the same category here as Dr. McGee divided these up. Stephen was a martyr. He was murdered in Acts 6 and 5. They chose Stephen as a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. He was chosen to be a deacon. Choose you out from among you seven men of good rapport, full of spirit. And Stephen was one of those. And he saw a vision into heaven. And Paul was there. Paul, then Saul, was there at Stephen's stoning when they stoned him to death. And Paul never got over that. It touched his life to see what love Stephen had for his people and for God. And Stephen even said similar what Jesus said on the cross: "Forgive for them, Father, for they know not what they do, or not what they're doing." And then Saul, later on Paul, he was a great theologian in the Bible. He was taught by Gamaliel, one of the greatest teachers of that time. And Paul writes in Acts 7 and 59 and 60 that the death he encountered while Stephen was while he stood there and watched Stephen and Stephen's clothes to be laid at his feet. And it changed Paul's life. And it really changed Paul's life when he was on the road to Damascus. And Christ came, and a light came and knocked him off of his donkey. And he was blinded for 3 days. And Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he said, Who are you?" And he said, "Christ, Jesus." And Paul went, if you read in the New Testament, Paul wrote about half of the New Testament. But Paul went from being totally against a Christian to being a Christian. And he was as committed in the Christian life as he was when he was in the sinner's life. And I wish more of us could be that committed. Seemed like we were sinners, we'll do and attempt anything. But when we get to become Christians, we just become docile and think that we shouldn't be doing or whatever. And we need to keep doing. Once we're saved, it doesn't cut our life off. It gives us life. Agrippa, the king who almost decided to become a Christian, he said in Acts 26, 1 and 2, and Acts 26, 28, to Paul, when Paul was witness to him and tell him all about him, Paul's experience in becoming a Christian. And Agrippa said, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." And I understand when he said that, because I heard a man say that to myself and the pastor one time. He was this close. I can't tell you how close. I don't know. I just know he was close enough to say yes, but he didn't. And it's sad. But Agrippa, as far as we know, never was saved, but he was really impressed by Paul and his testimony. And that's what we need to give when we witness someone. Just give our testimony. We don't have to give them 20 verses of the Bible. We don't have to tell them, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell. We just need to love them and share the scriptures with them. And that's what Paul was doing here with Agrippa. Cornelius, the last one that we talk about tonight. God's man, but he needed to be saved. He had every quality of a Christian. He had every quality of a good man. He did good things. He knew of God and his mercies and his grace, and he knew of Jesus Christ. But being a good man don't save you. Being a good woman doesn't save you. Being a good girl or a good boy doesn't save you. And Cornelia was a good man. He had rank in the army. He was a centurion. That meant he was over 100 soldiers. He believed in a holy God in Christ, but he hadn't been changed. So Peter was told by an angel to go, a spirit, to go and witness to Cornelius. And he said no. That's like saying no to God when God tells you to do something. So anyway, he was convinced, and he went, and he shared the gospel with Cornelius, and Cornelius was saved. But all through these 14, 15 characters of the Bible, none of them were perfect. They were nobodies in many cases, just like we're nobody. I'm nobody. But I'm trying to be somebody for the Lord, not for me. But God uses these people and uses us in a way that in time to teach us, to win others and to show others that none are perfect. We don't have to be. And I've been with people and witnessed to people, and they'd say, well, I if I got saved, I'd worry about I couldn't keep it. I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that. And the Bible doesn't teach you have to keep it. God does the keeping. He does the saving. We don't save somebody, but God keeps us. Once we're saved, he keeps us. And we don't have to be perfect to come to the Lord. There's nobody perfect. No, not one. But it shows us that we do not have to be somebody to be saved and to be used by the Lord, or have a reputation, or have clout, or have money, or be big in our community. We can be a nobody and still be saved. Thomas Village has a slogan this year. I said it earlier in the prayer, before prayer time. To be one, to be a Christian, to win one, another one. Be a mentor to them. Teach them the way they should go. Make a difference in their lives and those around us and in Thomas Village Baptist Church. God does not look for perfect people because there are none. So if you have not come to Christ and ask him into your heart because of whatever reason you might have, guilt or sin or whatever, or don't believe you can't be saved because you've done something so great, and the Bible doesn't teach that, Jesus will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And he can and will do the same for you. I'm an example of that. If you had told me 25 years ago that I'd be standing in front of a microphone and trying to teach a devotional, I would have said, you're crazy. But you're not crazy. So that's the devotional for tonight. I have a prayer I want to say to those out there listening, for those that might be lost, or those that might be backslidden. I think this example that Dr. McGee has put in this book of real characters, those unlikely people who are accomplishing great things for the Lord, because they were nobodies, most of them were nobodies. But as I said, the song says, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who saved my soul. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll close our devotional. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being faithful to our Facebook page and to our Lord, and just continue to do that. Father God, we've seen glimpses of several people, several characters that you've used to complete your word and your desires. Many were nobodies, but we don't have to be somebody with power and might, clout, and importance. We can just be a sinner in need of a Savior because we're lost. And you tell us in your word that none should perish, but all should come to a saving knowledge of our Lord. No one has done anything that you will not forgive us. We thank you for that. Otherwise, I myself might be written off as a bad lost, bad cause. I pray that this time and has that we've shared together these words and these verses and these people and their lives, that we don't have to be perfect. We can't be perfect. And you don't choose us because we're perfect. You do not reject us because we're sinners either. So thank you for loving us and guiding us and keeping us and giving us salvation through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Thank you.